Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Valley Grove Baptist Church. We are thankful you stopped by to hear from God's Word, to grow closer to Him, and to be inspired to reach your area of influence.
All right, here we go. Psalm 119:9, we're going to be reading in verse through verse 16. Psalm 119 is really an entire poem or psalm, if you will, to God's Word. It's about how good God's Word is, how necessary God's Word is, and it is an acrostic poem as well, which means that every successive section or paragraph starts with a succeeding letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So the first one is called Aleph, right? That's the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and today this one starts off with what would be our B called Bet. And so this is the Bet paragraph in this. Let's read it all together. Here we go. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. All right, so that's Psalm 119:9 through 16. All right, we'll start off today with a story. So, several weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago, I went to an estate sale. It was on a Friday morning. It was actually right around the corner from my house. And I went because in the photos, it looked like they had a particular garden-type item that I wanted to go look at, right? I couldn't see a price or anything else, so I went. And when you walked up to the house, there was a ton of folks there, right? It was, I mean, they had a bunch of stuff at this estate sale. But as I was perusing the stuff at the estate sale, it was really quick. I noticed several things right off the bat. So number one, in the garage was not a garage. There were no cars, there were no tools. It was full. When I say full, I mean wall-to-wall shelves of Christmas decorations. I mean wall to wall, like three layer shelves on this side, all the way down the garage. Then around, I took one. Well, not for me, right? But they obviously loved Christmas decorations because they had anything you could ever have wanted: plates, cups, ornaments, figurines, nativity scenes. They had it all. Christmas, the whole thing. Then as I went into the kitchen area, I noticed there were all number of appliances, cast iron skillets, pans, doohickeys, and all kind of stuff to make food with, right? Then I finally figured out that you could go outside, and then like in the this little half basement was where all the stuff that I wanted to look at. And when I got in there, whoever had owned the house had meticulously lined up yard equipment. I mean, it was meticulous all the way down one side, and they had stuff over here, and they had all manner of equipment to keep up a good yard. And then as I went back into the house, I noticed that they had an enormous bin of vinyl records. I mean, some of them were still in the packaging, like they had never been opened. Now, some of them, folks, bless their hearts, I had no idea who they were. Some of them I recognized, but I mean, there were, if there was one, there was 50 to 100 of these vinyl records in there, right? And so I went to look at, wasn't really thought, what it didn't really work, like it was missing some pieces, but I did pick up a couple of small things, right? And so I made my purchases, went back and did whatever I did the rest of the day. But as I was leaving, I realized it was very easy to see what this family valued. What did they value? Clearly, they valued their house looking Christmassy at Christmas because they could have decorated from top to bottom with Christmas. So they obviously valued Christmassy Christmas house decorating. They obviously valued eating at home because they had anything and everything to make a well-cooked meal. Or, well, I don't know how it would taste, but they at least had all the appliances necessary, mixers, you know, all kind of stuff there. So they valued cooking. They obviously also valued vinyl records because they had a ton of vinyl records. And clearly they valued a well-groomed yard or a well-kept yard. And the yard looked like somebody had been taking care of it for a very long time. There were all of these nice plants. They had built up a wall, retainer wall, and put all of these amaryllis and lilies and all of these stuff. The amaryllis were about to bloom. It looked really pretty. The grass looked good. You know, it looked like a forest, you know, back there. You know, they hadn't touched the grass in months, and it was very well kept. You could tell it. They valued that because they had all the stuff to do that with. And so it was really easy to pick up on what this family valued, right? Well, we all do the same thing, right? It's easy. If we were to go into your home, we could probably tell what you valued based off what you had on the wall, what was in your house, or if you were saying, hey, here's what I've spent my money on the last 6 months, we could probably tell what you value or what you spend your time. Hey, look, we can look at your Facebook feeds a lot of the time and tell what you value. Well, we all value things. We just may all value different things, but we all value something. Everybody across the world, however many billions of us there are in the world, right? We all value something. Right? The same thing here at church. Like, every church values something or someone or some things. We value some things here that are very important to us. And over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about those things that we value. Today's the first one. The things that we value, we call our core values. That's, you know, core values. Our kind of big five things are we, and this is, the first one has got two, so don't say it, just them together. We got Bible study and prayer. Right, we value that. Hence why we pray and read the Bible and preach the Bible every Sunday. We value small groups. We want you to be in a small group. We value serving. We want you to serve somewhere. We value giving. We want you to give. Right? And we want you to engage people. Like, those are our five core values. And I say, why do we value those five things? Because as far as I can tell, as you read the New Testament, those are the five things that groups of believers do from Acts to Revelation. Right? And ultimately, at the end of the day, I think those five things are the best five things we can do to occupy or to accomplish our win, which is moving ourselves and others for Christ. So every Sunday, and we failed to read it out loud as a Sunday, but every Sunday on your outline, there's a little box on the back right page. Right? And it reads, let's move ourselves and others toward Christ as we impact our area of influence this week. And we may not read it every week, but there's a reason it's on there every week. Because that's what I want you to do. Because we win as a church when you get closer to Jesus and when you bring somebody along with you to get closer to Jesus. That's how we win. Right? That's our win. Now, how do we accomplish that win? We've got to read your Bible and pray this week. You got to be in a small group. You got to serve, you got to give, and you got to engage people. Right, it's baseball season. So, how do you win a baseball game? Score more runs than the other team. Well, how do you actually do that on a practical game-to-game basis? You got to pitch, you got to catch, you got to throw, you got to run bases, and you got to hit the ball. Good five things. Pitch, catch, throw the ball. Like, if you're not a pitcher, you got to actively throw the ball. You got to hit and you got to run bases. Those are the five things. You want to win a game? You got to do those five things better than the other team. Real simple. That may be hard to do. You got to do those five. You don't have to. You don't matter how many people are in the stands. It doesn't matter what ballpark you're at. It doesn't matter whether you're in National League, American League. You got to do those five things better than the other team if you want to win a game. Right? Same thing. So how do we move ourselves and others toward Christ? You got to read your Bible and pray. You got to be in a small group. You got to serve. You got to give. You got to engage people. So over the next several weeks, we're going to look at those things. Now we're going to break Bible study and prayer up, even though we kind of claim it as one item because it kind of goes together. That's why I put it together. We're going to break them up because it's two topics worthy of individual study. So today, we're going to look at Bible study because we value Bible study, and there's no greater chapter in the Bible to look at than Psalm 119. We're going to start with these verses. Now, the psalmist starts out in verse number 9 with a very great question. How can a young man keep his way pure? All right? Now, I know it says young man, and I know some of you say, well, I ain't young no more. Just put whatever little adjective you want to in there. Middle-aged, young at heart, lady, you know, grandma, granddad, whatever you want to put. 39 and holding, whatever, doesn't matter to me. All right, how do we keep our way pure? Now, the key word there is pure, right? Pure. The word pure here literally means translucent or flawless, right? Translucent or flawless. But when you use it in a moral context, the word means to be morally or ethically clean, to be free from corruption, right? So the author is saying, how can we be free from corruption? How can we be flawless in moral character? That's a great question. Now, we might all wish that some others in our society would ask that question, right? But we're asking it of ourselves today. How can we be morally flawless? Thankfully, the author gives us the answer immediately. He says, by guarding it according to your word. So by guarding our life according to your word. So the guarding is the verb there. So what's that word mean? We're going to do a lot of what's that word mean this morning. The word guard there means to watch or to care for. It's interesting because when the Greeks translated the Old Testament into the Greek language, the same word, the Greek word that they choose to use to translate guard here is the same word that you read every Christmas if you read the Christmas story in Luke. Because in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, I believe, there's this part where it says, the shepherds were keeping watch over their flock by night. Right? That keeping and this keeping are the same thing. And so in essence, we can read it this way. We can read the answer this way. By caring for our lives as a shepherd would care for his sheep. According to your word. Now, according to your word is the object. So, by guarding our life as a shepherd would care for a sheep, according to your word, or according to God's word, that's the foundation from which we guard our lives with. All right, so verse 9. How can we keep our lives morally pure, flawless, ethically flawless, before God and others? The answer? By taking precise care of our lives according to God's word. Now let's stop just for a minute. Because the author could have put anything he wanted to right here by guarding it according to, and he could have filled anything else. Right? Notice what he doesn't fill it with. According to your own thoughts. According to culture's perception of what is right. According to the whims of the day. According to the king. He doesn't even say that. What does he say? According to your word. So before we go any further this morning, right? We can draw a line in the sand and say, if you or I really desire to live a pure, clean life, then it has to be based off God's word. What does that mean then? That means God defines what is pure, and he defines how to get there. Period. Now look, hey, listen to me. If you're in here this morning and you really don't care about living a pure life, that's on you. But if you do, if you want to live a pure life, it has to be defined by God's word, which means he gets to define what pure looks like, and he gets to define how you get there. Right? Now, if the author had stopped at verse 9, we'd kind of be up the creek. Right? Because we would know what to do, but we wouldn't know how to do it on a practical day-to-day basis. Right? Because he asked, hey, you want to keep your life pure? Yeah. Hey, guard it according to God's word. Well, my next question would be, all right, bud, that sounds great, but like, how am I going to do that tomorrow? Right? How am I going to do that on Tuesday? Or on Friday when it's been a long week? Well, thankfully, the author tells us in verses 10 through 16. And he does so with a flood of action words. And in verses 10 through 16, there are at least 10 major verbs that require action. And there are 7 different synonyms for God's word. For example, he uses precepts, testimony, commands, statutes, all which are synonyms for the Bible, for God's holy word. And he uses 10 different verbs. I just want to highlight a few of those this morning. You're going to have to go back and read and study these. I've got some definitions here on the front side of the paper. I want to highlight a couple of them. For example, how are you tomorrow to guard your life like a shepherd put his sheep on the foundation of God's word? Well, verse 10 says, hey, first thing you got to do, you got to seek. You got to seek with your whole heart so that you don't wander from the commands. That word seek there means to tread your feet. And that word wander means to go astray. So here's the idea. Listen to me. Here's the idea. The author is in essence saying, all of us who are here this morning, and everybody, realistically, you're all walking somewhere. None of you are stagnant. None of you are stationary. In your life, not physically, but I mean that's involved. But spiritually speaking, morally speaking, ethically speaking, you're all walking somewhere. He says, since you're walking, why don't you just walk toward God? With your whole heart. With every fiber of your being. Why don't you just say, since I'm going to be walking anyway, with every fiber of my being, why don't I just walk toward God? And he says, when you decide to do that, when you decide to walk with your whole heart toward God, what's the last half of the verse? I won't walk astray from your commandments. I won't wander to the left or to the right. Right? So he says, practically, why don't we just wake up today, or when we get home, after we've been to the BBS meeting, and why don't we say, hey, today I'm going to walk toward God. And then tomorrow when you wake up, you say, hey, today, I'm going to walk. I'm going to be walking anyway. I'm going somewhere today. Why don't I make up my mind with my whole heart that I'm going to walk toward the Lord? Verse 11, he says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That word stored up there means to treasure. So again, we could apply the same logic. In essence, he's saying, you're going to treasure something. You're going to value something in your life. You want to sin against the Lord? No, I don't. Then you know what? You better treasure God's word like a priceless heirloom in your life. Right? You got to treasure God's word with all of your heart. Verse number 13, he says, we've got to declare. He says, with my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. In other words, hey, be willing to speak out loud the words of Scripture. Sing them in a song. Speak them. Listen, did you know, this is cool. Did you know that some scientists believe, now again, I don't have I can't give you the peer-reviewed journal article that this came out of. But it just, so take it with a smidge of a grain of salt. That when you speak, and when you sing, and every syllable you've ever uttered, it doesn't go away. It just gets, the wavelengths get to where you can't hear it no more. So every word you've ever spoken is out there in somewhere, going somewhere. And it's going to continue. Because when you speak, you're moving the air with sound. So it's making sound waves, right? And eventually the sound waves just get so long that you can't audibly hear them. But they're out there somewhere. So he says, you're going to make some sound? Why not just make it about God's word?
It's pretty good. Pretty good.
All right. Verse 15. He has verse 14. He has the first delight. There's two delights. But there are actually two different words. The first delight says that we should rejoice. So we should rejoice in God's word as much as we rejoice in all of our money and all of our riches and all of our wealth. All right. In verse 15, he says meditate. That means occupy your attention. So in other words, what's occupying your attention? Let's let God's word occupy space in our minds. And then in verse 16, he has the second delight. Now, I love this one. Okay? So the first delight in verse number 14 means to rejoice. But in verse 16, it's a completely different Hebrew word. And when I read the definition of this word, you know what I thought of? Holly's preschoolers. Finger pain. Here's why. Because the word means to sneer. Go back with me to when your kids were preschoolers, if they're not preschoolers now. Do you remember what preschoolers do with finger paints? They start out,
ooh, it's cold. Miss Holly, it's gross.
Right? And then by the end of it, what's happening? They got it on their face. They got it on their clothes. They got it on the desk. Their hands no longer look red or blue. They look like that icky shade of green or brown. Because what have they done? They have taken that paint and they have just smeared it everywhere. So that paint is literally everywhere. Right? That's what this word means. It means to smear or to spread. I will finger paint your word all over me. Because when I finger paint your word, when I allow your word to be finger painted, smeared all over my life, what's going to happen? I'm not going to forget it. That word forget means to fall into oblivion. In other words, to like fall back into the recesses of your mind. So whenever you and I allow God's word to be finger painted all over our lives, every nook and cranny, all over everything inside of us, what's going to happen? In the moment of your need and desperation, what you going to do? You're going to remember that. You're going to remember what God said. You're going to remember. Hey, listen to me. Trust me, I'm not trying to toot my own horn about this. But my mom was diligent that every Sunday at Second Baptist Church, kids had to learn memory verses every Sunday. And sometimes we had knockdown dragouts on the way to church by me remembering to remember my memory verse. But can I tell you this? There are still today, I can quote a bunch of Bible verses, not because I'm some genius scholar, but because I memorized them as a kid. Right? If you put God's word in your life, I promise you it will come back when you need it. And it will. And here, so how do you know that? Because the Bible itself says, if His word goes out, it does not return void. Mm-hmm. Right? So, you got to be smeared on your life. Now, I want to kind of, that's that section, verses 10 through 16. Okay? There's a lot more in there, but I want to draw out just a few, about three kind of conclusions that we can kind of walk home with today. Okay? So let's go back to the initial question, verse 9. How do we keep our life pure, flawless, morally clean, ethically pure? The answer is by guarding it, by taking care of it like a shepherd takes care of his sheep, based off God's word. And then how do we do that practically? Verses 10 through 16 on a day-to-day basis. But if we were to take verses 10 through 16 and we were to package them all together, what are three kind of ideas that we could walk home with today? I'm going to give this one. And then we're done for that. Right. Here's number one. It's on your outline. It's on the back. Number one. If you want to have a pure life according to God's word, it's going to take work. It's going to take time, effort, and energy. Right? It's no different than anything else in your life. If you want to be above mediocre at anything in your life, you're going to have to work at it. If you want to be above mediocre at your career, it's going to take work. Like, you have to put time in it to be good at it. And if you want to be great, it's going to take even more time, energy, and effort. Like, notice all of the verbs that we read today. They're on the front side. All of them. Seek, wonder, store up, teach, declare, delight. Number one, meditate, fix, delight. Number two, and not forget. All of those are action words. Do you know what I didn't read on here? Be lazy. Coincidentally, let it happen. Like, let someone else do all the work for you, like a school group project, and you just get the credit for it. Like, none of those items are in there, are they? It's not just like magically going to appear by osmosis in your brain because you have a Bible at your house. All of these take work and effort. All of them take energy and time. And so if we're going to be godly people, it's going to take work. It's not just going to happen. Right? So, one of my pastor friends who's in our association, I dearly love, we've known each other since college. He told his church, and I was like, I'm going to steal that one Sunday. So here it is. Here's what he said. He said, listen, our role as pastors, if we're your primary discipler, we got problems. In other words, like if you're waiting for Sunday morning for me to be your one Jesus thing for the week, hey, I just be honest with you, it's going to be hard for you to have a pure life because I can't do that for you. I can't hold your hand when you're at work and your coworker is you know that person. Like, I can't swoop in and be like, hey, remember what we talked about on Sunday? No, you have to take ownership of that. And I can't wait for you to do that for me. Like, I have to take ownership for my own life. And it's going to take work. It's going to take work in God's work. See, that's number two. If you package all of this together, the second thing is, if you want to live a pure life, it has to be with a dedication to God's word. Listen, I've got on your outline, and this may be harsh, and you may go, but I'm telling you, this is what this passage says in Christ. You can be good people without God's word. You cannot be godly people apart from God's word. Right? In other words, if you want to move from a good people to godly people, the only way that transition happens is through God's word. Because this passage here, 7 different ways, through 10 plus verbs of action, tells you that in order for us to have a morally pure life, to guard it according to, we have to act, and we have to act in, live, through, by God's word. You cannot have it apart. I mean, think about what the verse said. It said God's word must be our treasure. God's word must occupy significant space in our hearts, minds, and lives. God's word should be fingerprinted all over us. Like, I don't know how we can, say then that we can move in sanctification and move toward godliness apart from God's word. It's not going to happen. And listen to me. This is nowhere on your outline, okay? This is totally free. But I'm just telling you, as someone who does this week in and week out, and who lives in culture just like you do, there are more and more churches, pastors, and Christians who are trying to say that God's okay with certain things and lifestyles that God is not okay with. And that ultimately, you can define truth and what's right and godly outside of God's Word. And listen to me, if we are not dedicated to the sufficiency of Scripture, to the authority of Scripture, then we will inevitably slide that way as well. And you'll look today and say, oh, we never do that. I'm sure they said they never do it 20 years ago, too. Right? I would make a comment about some happenings in our county, but I'll leave that comment for later. Anyway, but the idea is that sometimes we never think things would happen. But because we made one decision here, one decision here, oh, God really doesn't mean it that way. And we loosen our dedication to God's Word till eventually we're over here saying things are, God's okay with certain things that God has clearly said He's not okay with. And listen to me. This is totally free, okay? This is totally free. Mark chapter 3. Jesus makes this wild statement about the unpardonable sin. Come on, Mark chapter 3. And he makes that statement couched on one side of or the other. Mark does this little sandwich deal where he starts a story, inserts another story, then finishes the first story. And all the two stories tell the same point. And what begins the story is, who's in my family? Who's in Jesus' family? Because his mom and dad have come, his mom and his brothers and family, sisters have come to take him because they think he's crazy. And so that story starts, and then Mark interrupts it with another story about Jesus talking about the unpardonable sin. And then Jesus finishes that story by saying, who is in my family but he who does the will of my Father? And that whole story is about the person who does the will of the Father is in God's life. And tucked in that is that unpardonable sin. And basically what Jesus says is the unpardonable sin, listen to me, is either A, saying something is from God that clearly isn't from God, or saying something is not from God that clearly is from God. And how do you make sure you're not in that group? A thorough dedication to His Word. Not your interpretation. Look, I don't really care. I love you. I don't really care what you think it means. The question is not what you think the Bible means. The question is, what does it mean? There's a big difference. Because if it's what do you think it means, well, you can make it mean anything you want. Oh, I know it says this, but he don't mean that about my grandbaby. Come on. No, that's not what it says. And so if we're not thoroughly dedicated to God's Word, one, we will not live a pure life. And two, by the end of our life, we will be doing things we never thought we would do. And how do we stay pure? How do we? By guarding it according to God's Word, by having God's Word smeared all over our lives, by treasuring it as a priceless heirloom. And lastly, a pure life is not possible without God's help. Verse 12 is kind of at the center of this passage this morning. We didn't read it earlier. We didn't look at it earlier, but it says, Lord, teach me your word. Teach me. In other words, God, you tell me what this means. You tell me how I'm supposed to interpret this passage. And without God's help, we would be lost and undone in general, but we would not be able to live according, a pure life, according to the way He says we ought to. Without the Holy Spirit living inside of us as those who believe in Jesus and have the Holy Spirit, what did Jesus say the Holy Spirit would do in John's Gospel? He said He would bring back to your memory everything that I've taught you, that He would paraclete, that He would walk alongside of you. Yes. Right? And without God's help, we would not be able to do this. And so as we look at this passage, we kind of draw to a close. Let me ask you a question. Listen to me. What do you value? Let me put it to you this way. If this week we saw on Facebook, fill in your name, estate sale, and your life, not your physical items at your house, but if your life was on estate sale display, what would people say that you valued? What would they say you valued? Like if your life was on Facebook display and said, and everybody could go through and look at all the pictures, what would they say you valued? Next question. Would they walk away saying, hey, blank, they really love God's Word. They treasure God's Word like a priceless heirloom. They had God's Word smeared all over their life. Because I saw the pictures, I experienced myself, I heard the way they talk, I saw the way they lived. Would they say, you valued God's Word? And listen to me, friends. I love you. If the answer is, I don't know about that, that's a problem. That's a problem. Because as God's people, He has uniquely given us this entire book that is His guide for how we should live. And we must dedicate our lives to understanding. Now, I know some of you may be in here today and think, man, preacher, I know the answer is no today, but I don't want it to be like this. Holly and I were listening to a great podcast the other day. And I'm going to kind of paraphrase what they said. One of the ladies who was speaking, it was 2,000 Lakes, phenomenal podcast. It's kind of humorous and funny, but super biblically accurate and all that. And the lady said, we need to think of God's Word not as like little 10-minute spurts or 15-minute spurts, but listen to me, as if we are making deposits into a savings account. Like, look, we 401k, you have 401k, and the hope is that one day, maybe, fingers crossed, that if we just put in a little money here, and a little money here, and a little money here, and a little money here, down the road when we need it, it's not just a little money, but that it balloons into a lot of money. And you may say, well, man, I don't know a lot of stuff. That's okay. You may not know a lot of stuff today, but you start putting in deposits every day. And guess what? In a year, you'll be a whole lot closer to God than you are today. And in 10 years, think where you could be. But you just got to start making deposits. Now, here, listen, here's something we're going to do. Now, unfortunately, we're not starting tomorrow, okay? But this summer, Adam and I are going to create a summer Bible reading plan. And I'm going to encourage you. I know some of you do your own things. I'm doing something right now as well. But I really want to encourage everybody to participate in it. And so we're going to curate some Bible passages. It'll be one for probably... I think it'll be one for every 6 days, 6 or 7 days that week. You've got to catch up if you need to. And we're going to curate, and it'll be basically June, July, and maybe into August. Okay, so it'll be kind of the months we don't do jam. It's kind of how we'll run it, right? Kind of beginning in June through July, and maybe into August. And we want you to be a part of that because we value God's Word, and we want you to value God's Word too. And we want to give you an opportunity to start making those. Now, look, you don't have to wait till June, right? Like, you don't have to wait till we, like, we'll start probably the week of the EBS. You don't have to wait till then. You say, well, where do I start? Look, start. Tomorrow is what? May 1st? May 1st? Read Psalm 1. And then go through 31. Or you can read Proverbs 1 and go through 31. Because there's 31 Proverbs. You can read Proverbs every month. Right? Start in Psalm 1. And then ask yourself, when you get done, Psalm 1 is a great one to start with. Right? Ask yourself, hey, Lord, what do you want me to take away from this today? Put it in your phone. Write it on a piece of paper. Get a notebook. If you're not, if you want to put it on a computer, speak it in your phone. Hey, you and your spouse do it. And then, you know, over dinner say, hey, I read Psalm 1. Did you read Psalm 1? What did you get? What did you get? And then you talk about it. It's real, that's all you got to do. But start making deposits today. Start making deposits, and by the end of the summer, by the beginning of the year, think where you'll be. Because we value God's Word. We want you to value God's Word. I hope you will. I hope that maybe if your answer isn't, hey man, if everybody was to see my life today, they would know. Maybe you can't answer affirmative to that, but maybe you can start. And that would be my challenge to you. If you can't answer, yes, people know I value God's Word, then start today. It's not hard. It just takes work. Just like it takes work to be good at what you do, or your hobbies, or the things you do. Right, start something. Start in Psalms. Start in Proverbs. Pick up a Bible. Start there. All right, that's your challenge. By the end of your life, I pray that people will know that you value God's Word. All right?
Thanks for listening. For more information about Valley Grove, visit our Facebook page or website, valleygrovechurch.org.